This week we'll continue what we started last week. And I want to start with a story that I wrote. And just like with last week, difficult story last week of thinking about someone underwater, because just this week and we saw exactly what I talked about. The one that wanting to do the rescue was the one that ended up under the water and drowned. And so I hope that this touches us, but I hope that it doesn't hurt us. You give a child and they say they don't feel well. Days continue and you hear, "Mommy, I just don't feel good." This continues for days. You don't really pay too much attention to it, but yeah, maybe there's something there. Continue to hear it often. "Mom, I just don't feel good." Then one day you notice that they're a little bit slumpy. They're a little bit slow. Their color's even a little bit pale. They're just not acting right. They're not acting normal. Even their words are being affected a little bit. How they're organized, how they're being said. Days turn into a few weeks, even a month's gone by. Then the moment happens. Your child is motionless, they're wheezing, they're gasping for a little bit of air, just a tiny breath. Mom, being mom, panic starts to set in. Pick up the child, they need to have their phone, they find their purse, of course they've got to dump that out because they've got to find their phone, their keys. Get the rest of the kids together, and of course the husband, he's not around, he's at work. They snatch up the child, they dump out the purse to get those keys, they grab the wallet, they grab the phone. Only takes a few seconds, but it seems like it's an eternity. Yelling for the kids, get in the van now. You run out to the van, almost back up into the garage door because you're so much in a panic. You finally do get the garage door open, you pull out of the garage, you squeal the tires, you're trying to dial 911, but your fingers are trembling so much you can't even get that right. Finally, after a couple of times, on the third time, you get that right, and you're yelling into the phone, my child, the operator is trying to calm you down and say, "What's going on? Give me your address," etc., what they go through for a protocol. You tell them that your child's not breathing, but you're in the car and you're trying to get to the they stay with you and you get there to the hospital. When you get there, of course, you wonder, "Did I even call my husband? I can't even remember if I did that." You run the child into the hospital. You get them into a room and then you go, "Oh, where are the kids? The rest of the kids are with me too. I've got to get those." And then you're able to take a little bit of a breath as they start to administer to the child. It's at that time that you realize, "I haven't even cried out to the Lord yet." Then you begin. And it's a pleading only like a mother can plead. You're begging deep. The agonization is just all over your words and your face. It's ongoing. You're imploring on the Lord. Your husband finally rushes in at that point, and of course, together you embrace, you cry on his shoulder, and the two of you cry out together. You know, there's a lot of reality to the story. We dealt with one or two kiddos going to the hospital for significant periods of time. And I can tell you that there are times that, yeah, we pled to the Lord very quickly, but there was times that it really did go through a bunch of things before we had that sense of urgency to go to the one that can answer prayer. So that's what we're talking about this week again, is desperate and dependency on the Lord. So I challenged you last week to go ahead and get before the Lord with three questions. How do you deal with that? Just wonder how many of us really thought about that and got alone with the Lord and asked, you know, "Am I really desperate? Am I dependent on you?" We finished with a couple of verses last week, and let's just start with reminding where we finished up with. Psalm 75 says, "But I am poor and needy. Hasten me, O God, that you are my help and my deliverer, O Lord." We noticed how personal that was. And then we turn to a voice that we have heard echoed several times previously, Romans 5:6, and it says, while we were still helpless, or weak in some translations, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. So we were reminded last week how your word talks so much about our helplessness and how we are in need of you. And this week, I want to kind of talk through what I think should be our response. If we really understand how helpless, how hopeless we are, how low we are, what kind of things should be happening? Let's go ahead and let's turn in our Bibles to Joel 2. Old Testament, little tiny book. If you find Obadiah, you're close. Let's read some verses here. I'm kind of going to skip some verses. I'll try to tell you when I've skipped over some verses. It opens up like this. "Blow a trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm on a holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. For the day of the Lord is coming. It is near." Skipping down to verse 11. "The Lord utters his voice before the army and for his camp is exceedingly great. He who executes his word is powerful, for the day of the Lord is great and very awesome. Who can endure it? Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and with mourning. And render your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. He relents over disaster. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave the blessing behind, a grain offering, a drink offering for the Lord." Verse 15. "Blow the trumpet in Zion. Consecrate a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people." Let's go down to verse 19 and hear this. "The Lord answers and says to his people, behold, I am sending to you grain, wine, oil, and you will be satisfied. And will no more make you a reproach among the nations." Verse 26. "You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. Praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never again be put to shame. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and I am the Lord your God, and there is none other. And my people shall never again be put to shame." Verse 30. "And I will show wonders in the heavens and earth, in blood, fire, and columns of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the great and awesome day that the Lord comes." Verse 32. "And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." You know, we pick up on a couple of things that dependency, the desperation that we have, it's individually, and we see here that at times it's corporate. We're going to see a couple of examples of the practical application of that. But then we see as we read through this chapter in Joel, we can see that salvation is tied to this. And that's got to be the first thing that we cry out. We talked about that last week, that our first desperate cry has to be that we're dependent on the Lord, and salvation is the first thing that we plead with the Lord for. I want to read a couple more verses. don't know if you want to turn to, but Matthew 22:37 says, and he said then, you shall love the God, the Lord your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. It's an echo of Deuteronomy. The only difference is at the end of the verse in Deuteronomy, it says, with all your might. Let's tie in another verse with that Deuteronomy thought. Deuteronomy 10 says, and now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commands and statutes of the Lord. So the Lord requires things of us. Is that difficult for you to hear? Sometimes that can be difficult for me to hear because I can be a little rebellious here and there. But God requires things of us, and that's a great thing. It's a good thing. I like that we sang that I Surrender All song. You know, I love that. You know, when we were at Word of Life, I was pretty sure there was a music out there named Gary. And I thought for sure he was the one that had written that, because, man, it was just good stuff, you know. But he'd not, but he'd written plenty of other things. But that was always really difficult for, when I was tender to the Lord, I should say, that was a difficult song to sing. Even this morning, think about those words. I surrender. We don't do that well. A little piece of my life. You can have Sunday for 40 minutes. I might even give you 45 today. It's not what it says, does it? It says, I surrender all. And that's what these verses, I read these three verses because they say all. Every moment, all of us. That's what we should be surrendering to God. Let's take a look at some other verses and then we'll go to some time of application. Let's go ahead and turn into Psalms. We spent quite a bit of time last week there. We'll spend quite a bit more time there this week. Psalm 145. Let's read verses 18 through the beginning of 20. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He also hears the cries and saves them. The Lord perseveres all, the Lord preserves all who love him. Man, there's a lot that we can unpack in this verse. Just take a look at these words again. The Lord is near. That is a good thing to have God near us. To all who call out on him, it's good for us to be calling out on him. That's one of the things that we're going to see when we're truly dependent and desperate on the Lord, that there's going to be a pretty big echo of calling out on him. All who call out on him in truth. That's so critical for us. To be honest with the Lord when he tells us things about ourselves that we accept and are able to see the truth that's there. Then he says, and fulfills the desires of those who fear him. We're going to see that tied into several of these verses. The fear of the Lord. So important for us to have that aspect of our Christian life correct. Let's go ahead and turn to chapter 40 of Psalms. See what the beginning of that chapter says. Many of these are very familiar to us. I wait patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. Wow, that's so good. Waiting patiently. We're going to see a lot of that. When we're desperate and dependent, we want answers right now. We want, God, I've got your timing down right here. Let's have it happen really quickly. The That's not how God works most of the time. He wants us to be patient. He wants us waiting on Him. And then where it talks about that He inclines His ear and He heard my cries. I'll break that in. He drew me up from the pit of destruction and out of the murky fog, and He set my feet on a rock, making my steps secure. Put a new song in my mouth and a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in God. There we see it in the echo of the fear of God and putting our trust there. Joshua has this to share that I think can help us out. He says in chapter 24, 14, let's just read 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your father served beyond the river of Egypt and serve the Lord. You know, we don't want to fake this dependency. As I read this and I was thinking about it, I thought, boy, I've seen that before. I've seen prayers that are being cried out and you just go, man, you just know this is really coming from the heart. It's not from the Holy Spirit. This is just for somebody's attention. And what a sad thing that is. You know, we want to be living now, Titus 2, where it talks about that just saying no and leaning completely into the Lord. Micah also gives us a little glimpse of what God is looking for. Let's turn to Micah 6. Say it again, a verse that we're probably very, very familiar with. He told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To do justice, and to love kindness or mercy, you could say, and to walk humbly with your God. We're going to see that humility and the fear of God and mercy are all tied together in what we should be doing with all this, thinking about dependency. Isaiah 66:2 reads this way. All these things my hand has made so that all these things came to be, declares the Lord. But this is the one whom I look for, who is humble, contrite in spirit, and trembles at my word. We are so fortunate to have this word and to be able to open it. Josiah and I were back praying this morning, and I was just thinking and praying, you know, we get to open up this word this morning, get to speak it openly, share with one another what God's taught us throughout this week. There are places in the world that we would be, you know, taken away in handcuffs, and that would be a good day. Because in some places, there would be an execution right there. We're so fortunate. We can't neglect this word. When we're given this kind of a privilege, we should hunger and thirst to be able to open up this word. It talks about humility there, and it's tied in a couple of verses that I thought about that talk about that I think we should just think about. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and He'll exalt you. And it's echoed again in Peter, 1 Peter 5:6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so at the proper time you may be exalted. You know, I thought quite a bit about going into Lamentations at this time, and it talks about the new mercies of God, and it talks about waiting on Him and seeking Him. It leads us to a point of salvation. If you're not saved this morning, I would pray that the Holy Spirit right now is leading you to that point. That you're desperate, and that you know the only one to be dependent upon is the Lord, Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12 tells us that there's no other name, just Jesus. Luke 3:13 says, unless you repent, you all likewise perish. There's got to be a dependency that happens at first for salvation. Acts 3:19 through 21 says, "Repent therefore and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, that you may send Christ to you at the appointed time. From heaven you must receive until the time is restored to all things which God spoke about." Ezekiel talks about repentance, tied in to having a new heart. So important for us to see that. Let's go back into Psalms and look at Psalms 142. Continuing to build the base here of what this should look like. We're going to take two great examples out of Scripture in just a moment. Let's read the first verse of this chapter. "With my voice I cry out to the Lord. With my voice I plead for mercy to the Lord." As you read that, does that sound like somebody that's dependent on the Lord? I think it's a pretty good example right there. We see that he cries out, and he pleads for mercy. Let's go back into chapter 131. Read a few verses out of Psalms 130, I'm sorry, 130. "Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice." See in these verses that there's a pleading, that we're crying out to the Lord. Like I said, we can't make this something that we do out of emotions, but it needs to be something that the Holy Spirit teaches us through and delivers to us. "Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy." We see those pleas, and again we see them for mercy. "If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared." Here's a good place to be praying, right? Thinking about the forgiveness that God gives to us, those that fear him. "I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his words I have hope." There again we see waiting upon the Lord and how important that is. Let's turn to chapter 88. Again in Psalms. A dependent person might be praying out these words. "O Lord, God of my salvation, I cry out to you day and night before you. Let my prayer come before you, incline your ear to my cries." And pleading that dependency, we can see day and night. Isn't it a great thing to know that whenever we're broken and cry out to the Lord, he hears us? We don't have to wait for some certain window. We don't have to wait to be able to get to a certain person. God's available 24 hours a day. It's more of a question of whether we're going to do that pleading 24 hours a day, or are we going to compress it into little spaces? Difficult to even think about those words. Let's continue in Psalms 34. Let's look at just a couple of snippets there. Verses 15 and continuing on says, "The eye of the Lord is towards the righteous and his ears towards their cry." Again, an echo of that crying out to the Lord. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Cut off a memory of them from the earth. That's hard to hear. God does not like sin. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Now notice that he doesn't say he delivers them right now. It's always in his timing, but it will always happen. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. It's very good. Let's look at it. We've got a few more minutes yet. I want us to do a couple of things. We've talked about what dependency looks like, and we can see that it looks like somebody that's crying out to the Lord, that's calling out to the Lord, that's pleading with the Lord. Let's look at a couple of really good examples of it. Let's stay in Psalms and look at chapter 51. Like I said, none of these verses are anything that's new, but maybe they'll be afresh today. Maybe it was the Holy Spirit who has something that's important for you or for I to be able to hear it again. This is an example of someone, David, crying down to the Lord. I'm going to skip a few verses, so again, I'll try to keep you up with which verse I'm in. Psalm 51:1 leads out to this. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Verse 2. Wash me thoroughly with my iniquities. Cleanse me from my sins. We see this a pleading to be cleansed from sin. It's one of the things we should be crying out to. If we're desperate and dependent, we're going to see how the Lord is going to show us sin that's in our lives, because we need to deal with that. It's not easy for us to hear that, but we need to deal with it each and every day. For I know my transgressions, my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Verse 7 reads, purge me with hyssop, and you shall be clean. I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Verse 9 says, hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God. What a great thing to be crying out to the Lord for. Stay up a clean heart. Not an easy thing to pray. That can kind of be a dangerous prayer, because he can show you some things that you don't want to see and have to deal with. Created me a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me with the joy of your salvation. That's so important. As we're thinking about being dependent and having desperation for the Lord, reflecting on our salvation is a good thing. I know that I've reminded you that I've encouraged to do this before, but I would echo it again. It's a good thing to go back to some of the people that you know that were influential in that coming up to the day of the Lord. I'll often remind my sisters especially, thanks for being so patient for me when I was so nasty to you. I mean, some of the things I said to them to get them out of my face for talking about Jesus in my presence, I mean, it was just awful. Like, I'm so thankful that they had perseverance, that they didn't get up, and that they gave it to me the way that I needed to have it. There were most days in a very loving fashion, but there was a couple days that one or two of them said straight out, you need to get saved, you filthy sinner. Some of us need to hear that. Most of us need it to be, like it says in Peter, become gentle and with respect. But some of us, we need to kind of get slapped upside the head and have our attention given to us. It's a good thing to reflect on the day of salvation and our salvation that we have right now. Deliver me, O God. The other really great example that I see in Scripture is out of Daniel. Let's go ahead and turn to Daniel 9. Again, I'll be doing a little bit of skipping around, but I think it shows us just a really good example of what this crying out, real dependency is. I look at chapter 51 of Psalm, and it looks very individual, like it's an individual that's doing that crying out. Daniel, we see more of a corporate type of setting, and yet he's speaking as an individual. We need to have both of those things. Then I turn my face to the Lord God, seeking Him by prayer and pleas for mercy. The echo that we have on that pleading, that crying out, it's for mercy so often. Seeking Him by prayer and pleas of mercy with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Verse 4 says, I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession, saying, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love Him and keeps His commands. Verse 5. We have sinned and done wrong, acted wickedly and rebelled, turned aside from Your commandments and rules. We have not listened. Verse 7 says, to You, O Lord, belongs righteousness, but to us open shame. Verse 8 says, to us, O Lord, belongs open shame, because we have sinned against You. Verse 9 now. To Lord our God belongs mercy and forgiveness, for we rebelled against Him. Verse 10. And have not obeyed the voice of the Lord God by walking in His laws, which He set before us by His servants and the prophets. Here we see just a great plea of confession, crying out for mercy. You know, when we think about the dependency and desperation and us calling out to the Lord, I think of several areas, and we're going to end with this, and then I'm going to give you a few minutes of some of these thoughts captured, and if you want to write them down, it'd be an opportunity to be able to do that. When I think about different areas that we can be praying to God, I think about these. There's five areas that I thought of that we need to be praying to God. One is to be led. You know, we can go out and we can wander an awful lot, but we really need to be led by the Lord. Just a couple of verses that highlights that thought to see that it is from Scripture. Psalm 43:3 says, send out Your light and Your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to Your holy hill and to Your dwelling. Psalm 119:35 says, lead me in the path of Your commands, for I delight in them. So important. What a great question, right? And do I really delight in following God, in obeying His commands, or are they a chore? Are they a burden? Can kind of give us a good measure of where we're at with the Lord. Jude says, keep yourself in the love of God, waiting for His mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. That's the first place we need to be led to, is eternal life. Such a great thing to think about. The other thing is, I think we need to be guided. And that's what we need to plead for the Lord. Show our dependency that we don't want to guide ourselves. We don't want to have the world guide us. We don't want to have schools guide us. Might be okay for some things to be taught in those situations, but we want the Lord to be the one that's doing the guiding. Listen to a couple of these verses. Isaiah 58:11 says, the Lord will guide us continually. John 16:13 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide us to all truth. Man, that's good. Happy verse. Just the beginning of it is all, but the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to guide us. how we need to quiet our hearts and lives to be able to hear from the Spirit. If we're tied up in the hustle and bustle of the world, we're going to miss anything that God has to say to us. In Revelation, we see this verse, the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be our shepherd. He will guide them to springs of living water. How great that is to think about. We want to be led, we want to be guided, you know, those kind of lead, you know, I think of, okay, come on guys, guiding, I think about here, and then I think about directing, we're going this way, boys. Think about these verses. 1 Thessalonians 3:11 says, now our God and Father himself, and our Lord Jesus Christ, direct our ways. Think again and type in 2 Thessalonians 3:5. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Another great couple of things to be praying about. I think we all should be asking God to teach us. We can see that echoed several times. Let's just highlight two of them. Job 6:24. Teach me and I will be silent. Both of those are key. God doing the teaching, me being silent. Make me understand how I have gone astray. We're going to really have God search us and find, dig out those sins. We've got to be silent before Him. 25:4 in Psalms reads, 86:11. Teach me your ways, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. So it's not good enough just to be taught by God. We need to do the action of obeying and walking with Him. And then one other thing that we look at in the area of teaching that I was thinking of is Luke 11:1. The disciples of all people, what do they want to be taught? Lord, teach us to pray. The last thing that I look at, and then we'll wrap up with a couple of things here, is giving thanks. And we can see dozens and dozens of verses. I think we'll, let's look at just these couple. Out of Chronicles in the Old Testament, out of chapter 16, excellent, excellent chapter. It's a good thing you can't find anything in books that are really tough like that. You know, Chronicles, why would anybody read that, right? Yet there's just nuggets. And I walked in and Josiah had one of his little ones and I was like, what nugget did you get? Dig out? Because they had both their Bibles were open. I was like, what nugget did you dig out? What did you find? We dig around on some of these more difficult books, we're going to find things like this that are so good. Echoed twice in the book, it said, in this chapter 16, it says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Later in the verse, in the chapter, it says, save us, O God, of our salvation. Gather and deliver us from among the nations. May we give thanks in your holy name and glory in your praises. At the end of God's word, he finishes in Revelation with a couple of things that reminds us of giving thanks. Chapter 4, we see heavenly worship there, and there is giving thanks there. And then chapter 11, 17, it says, we give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, who is and was, and for you have taken your great power and begun to reign. God reigns on. There's so many things we can be thankful. That's a study that we had for the last couple of weeks. If in case you wanted to write down some things, I have a few verses, and I'll just give a few minutes that we can think about that. I'll speak for a little bit on just reminding us. So the study was about desperation and being dependent on the Lord. we could see our standing. We could see that it wasn't very good, wasn't it? There was a lot of hurt. This is a talk about how low we really are and how we're no good. We're nothing without Him. How the fear of the Lord is so important in knowing Him. See our sin for what it is. We see the brokenness and, more importantly, the broken relationship that it causes. That our sin breaks our relationship with the Creator, with God. He's looking for a humble, contrite spirit. He's looking for us to repent, and then He's looking for us to pray. He's looking for us to pray, crying out to Him, being led, being guided, directed, teaching, and then giving thanks. If you wanted to have some study time, we didn't catch all these verses, and I'd be glad to share with you. You can just see the different crying out to Him, how important humility is. Salvation's got to happen first and foremost. Beg and plead with Him and turn your heart over. It's very easy. See, it's easy to sit in a church and not be saved. It's easy for people to go to Bible school and not be saved. I've even heard of guys that have been teaching, pastors, that got to the point and said, oh, wait a minute, I've been doing all this on my own. I've never given my heart to Jesus. We can see how repentance and mercy are tied together, and then just two really good, strong examples, individual and then corporate. And then we can see these things that we should be praying, and it's great to pray Scripture. You know, sometimes we can question ourselves, are those really the words I should be using? Well, if we're taking them out of Scripture, we can be pretty confident in that. And we do want God to be doing all of these things, to lead us, to be guiding us, to be directing us, and then to be teaching us. Each one of them, I can think of a different picture in my head of those. And then, of course, so important to be giving thanks. If we're dependent and being desperate for the Lord, we're going to be thankful and continuously thankful.